Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, with the man we like to call, well, he knows everybody. What else would you call him? Mr. OC, John Gutierrez.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome again to our community podcast show, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President here. And with us today, we have another special guest. Her name is Georgina Maldonado. She is the Executive Director for CHIOC. I want to make sure I say that right, which is Community Health Initiative of Orange County, which is a nonprofit foundation. And we're going to learn a lot about this nonprofit today. Welcome to the show, Georgina.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me today.
Yes, yes. Welcome to the show. And, you know, everybody that tunes into our podcast, everyone knows that we like to get to know our guests that are with us because many of them, of course, you're an executive director, so we consider you a community leader. And so it's always great for our listeners and our viewers to learn more about our leaders in our community and really just learn the path of how they've got to this point in their journey. So if you don't mind sharing with us a little bit about yourself, maybe where you grew up and, you know, how we got to this point in your life.
Oh, wow. How much time do you have?
We have to keep the short version,
Okay. I will be succinct. So one thing is I was born in Mexico. So I am an immigrant to the United States. Journeyed with my parents.
What part of Mexico?
For you? Ocotlán, Jalisco.
Jalisco.
Yes,
that's where my Ocotlán, dad's from. Jalisco. My dad's from San Juan de los Lagos,
Andale.
Jalisco. So we're paisanos.
Ándale. Vecinos, right.
Vecinos. Yes.
And, you know, arrived here to the United States at a very young age of 3 years old. Parents always working in the service sector. Journeyed through, our immigrant experience, we were able to obtain our resident alien card, to be exact. That is exactly what our green card said. And, you know, overstayed our keep, went through the immigrant journey of obtaining our legalization in this country. And I could say I'm a proud citizen now, voting member in our community.
Congratulations.
And, you know, grew up in, you know, mostly Santa Ana, Central Orange County,
hey,
Garden Grove,
she's
Westminster.
She's a Santanera. That's where I grew up. That's right.
Right. I'm kind of a transplant.
You guys moved around?
Yes, we moved around a little bit, arrived first to Fountain Valley, then went to Garden Grove, Westminster, and my parents purchased a home in the city of Santa Ana. And that's been great. Here ever since.
That says a lot about your parents.
Yeah.
To be able to purchase a home, right? Because
right.
That says they were committed to, you know, financial security here.
Correct.
In the United States. Mm-hmm. What did your dad and your mom do, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about that?
Well, my dad was part of the union. He would be doing gardening work, construction work, an honorable blue-collared worker. My mom, cleaning houses, also worked in the coastal cities here in the County of Orange and, you know, really just invested in education for myself. And they, you know, always committed to providing me the best that they could within their means.
Would you say that your parents' hard work and dedication to what they were doing then really impacted you as a young woman growing up in those days?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Being proud of the work that we do, pride in our country, not only pride of being Mexican, but also having a sense of pride in being part of the United States and in earning our citizenship status in this country. And so it is something that I hold near and dear to my heart and not forget what those struggles were and how they always came out on the other side. Because as you know, the dream of being in the United States is to own a home. And they were able to fully come full circle and purchase the home. I mean, back then, interest rates were at a 9%.
You know, it's funny.
We all talk about that.
Yes, you mentioned that we have a real estate committee. Mm-hmm. And when we do our mixers with them,
right,
that's often something that's brought up from the 80s and 90s, how the interest rate back then was, I think somebody even mentioned like 12%.
Yes.
It was insane, right? Mm-hmm. So people were like, well, back then the homes were like 300,000 or whatever, 200,000. Yeah, but the interest rate was so high,
correct,
right? So you can just imagine, I mean, the payments, that was a lot of money for somebody working in landscaping or construction work.
Correct.
My dad was a landscape worker, so that's dear to my heart. You know, I know that's that's hard work. With your dad and your mom cleaning, of course, that is hard work. Siblings? Do you have siblings?
No, I'm actually an only child.
Interesting.
I'm an only child.
Okay.
I'm the favorite.
La favorita.
See. I'm the good, the bad, you name it.
Is that tough, though, growing up? Because a family, we're a family of five. My wife's family's a family of nine. That's rare to hear that in the 80s or 90s, parents only had one child.
Well, I think after having me, they're like, and we're done.
You're a lot of work.
We're good. We're good.
Tremenda.
Yes. I mean, sure.
She's like, sure. She like thought about it.
I'm like, well.
Now, growing up, what high schools did you go to? Or where did you, I know you went to, you live in Santana.
And yes. Mm-hmm. Well, part of our, you know, and I hate to sound, to say this so much, but part of our being in processing our paperwork for amnesty back in the 80s, my parents made the decision to send me to private school.
Oh, that's great.
For two main reasons.
Wow.
Number one is that's how my mom grew up in Ocotlán. She went to a private school. My dad was okay with putting me into private school. And when I went to preschool, I remember it was Santa Clara Day Nursery on New Hope.
Okay.
And so that's one reason. The second reason why they sent me to private school is because, and this is one of the fears our communities are living through right now, is public charge. What they were afraid of is if I went to public school, our paperwork, for some reason, during the processing of our legalization in this country would be hindered by that. And those were the two main reasons they sent me to private school. So I went to Santa Clara Day Nursery, Immaculate Heart of Mary, which is no longer a school anymore. But so that's how old I am.
No, I remember. I remember. Yes. And you know what? Kudos to your parents.
Thank you.
Because buying a home back then and sending your child to a private school, maybe that also explains why they didn't have more children, because financially that's tough.
Right.
I mean, I remember the 80s and 90s growing up in Santa Ana myself, and it was not easy.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So kudos to your parents. I don't know. We give them a shout out. Are your parents still?
So what set you on this path? I'm still trying to. So you're going to private school.
We're going there, Paul. Take it easy. We're working on it, Paul. You know, I always like to ask these kind of questions about your journey, because we find that in the show, the journey that you took growing up as a child or as a teenager really plays a huge role in who you are today. Would you say that?
Absolutely. Well, I started in healthcare. I mean, I graduated from Modern Day High School.
Whoa. Let's slow down there. Let's look. She just threw that out there very quietly.
Yeah, very good.
You know, I graduated from Modern Day High School, you know. You know,
hey,
I mean,
I'm proud.
That's not just any high school here. Come on, MD, let's go.
Yeah, right?
Only the top school in many things, in basketball,
I'm
football.
Just saying.
Only high school in the nation to ever have 3 Heisman Trophy winners in college, by the way.
Right.
Because I follow football.
Including, what was the guy from Alabama a couple of years ago?
Yes, yes. I mean, she was like, yeah, just graduated from Modern Day.
Yeah, throw that out there.
And not a big deal, you know? So congratulations. That says
you.
A lot again,
my
your parents. Way to go to your parents. Wow.
It's kudos 100%.
And from
them.
There, you where did you transition?
I went to Santa Ana College for a couple
of
years.
Yes, one of our partners
That's
of our
right.
chamber. That's right.
And again, going back to being from Santana,
yes.
And I then went to Cal State Long Beach, received a degree in sociology.
Nice.
And began the journey in the nonprofit world. So I journeyed from nonprofit to for-profit. My entire career has been in the healthcare industry, working with our underserved communities. And part of the passion and drive that I have for the work that I do is because back then, growing up, I had no health insurance. And again, undocumented, uninsured, my parents would pay cash for my immunizations. Anytime I got sick, everything was cash. Luckily, I never had to go to the hospital. It was usually your common cold, whatever the case may be, in terms of illnesses as a young kid. But I remember breaking my arm. We went to the Fountain Valley Regional Medical Center, now UCI.
Yes, now UCI. I know exactly. Right on Euclid and Warner.
Correct.
Across from El Parque de la Milla.
Exacto.
So you broke your arm, ended up at Fountain Valley Regional.
Everything was cash.
Wow.
Everything was cash. And so.
Man, your parents had a lot of cash under the pillow.
Well, I mean, possibly. And anything to take care of their
Which
daughter.
Was very common in the 80s yeah. and 90s, by
but
the way.
Anything to take care of your children.
That's right.
Right?
That's
anything
right.
to take care of your children.
But today, and what would that cost?
Oh, you can't oh even my gosh. You can't even compare.
To imagine going, they have one child, you're saying many right. households still have 3, 4, 5 children. Just to do a broken arm.
Yeah,
I can't imagine what that would cost today, cash.
Well, today I think being in a hospital on a daily basis is like $10,000 from what I hear.
I don't know.
I know because we're in healthcare. Obviously, we own a hospice company. Okay. And, you know, the way hospitals work is there's like a daily rate they want to make sure that they're hitting, right?
Oh.
To be able to cover their cost, right? And how many their senses and their patients.
And it's
so,
not hundreds. It's hundreds.
Oh, no. You're talking. That's why when you, as soon as you enter the hospital, well, when you get admitted, right, there's a difference between being in the ER and
right.
being admitted.
Right.
So you break your arm. You're in the hospital. That was like that was tough, right? I mean.
I was probably in the third, fourth grade. And I mean, now with access to healthcare, as we journeyed that and in California and the United States, is more individuals are eligible now. And when you have more individuals that are eligible for healthcare, it is the children don't need to worry about, the parents don't need to worry about taking them to the ER if they break something, if they get sick, because they know they have healthcare coverage. And so that is where
From what, like Medi-Cal?
Yes, it comes from Medi-Cal. And
which is the state version of Medicaid.
Correct. Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, now it's the healthcare system is very different because more people are eligible for healthcare coverage. And so that is where my drive comes from to lead this organization in extremely challenging times. Currently, I've been here for almost 10 years. It's incredible how time flies, how my anniversary is coming up this summer. And it's the highs and lows of journeying, being an executive director of such agency when, you know, you get hit sometimes with funding cuts, whether it's county, state, federal. But we have phenomenal supporters in this county to help us keep executing on the mission of
and
our
goal. Let's just remind everybody real quick that's tuning in. Sometimes people tune in a little bit later.
Yeah.
We are with Georgina Maldonado, Executive Director of Community Health Initiative of Orange County. Let's share with everybody, if you don't mind, real quick, just tell us a brief summary of the organization.
Right, that's what I was going to
That would be great.
Absolutely.
So everybody that's listening
Happy
knows.
To.
Yes.
We were founded about 20 years ago by a public-private partnership. Some of our founding funders were the St. Joseph Hospital, now known as Providence, Sisters of St. Joseph. So it was the big family of under the St. Joseph umbrella back in the day. Mm-hmm. But also we had the county at the table. There was a significant amount of uninsured children and adults in our communities that needed healthcare coverage. And so 20 years ago, they said we need to create the safety net organization to not only protect our communities, provide them coverage, but also these individuals were walking into the emergency room. So now the hospitals, they were being excessively impacted. And that was the birth of our organization. So in essence, our mission is healthcare access for all.
Healthcare access for all.
Correct.
And what do you do to promote that? Is it just education, or do you actually guide people to sign up and find programs?
Well, the way we do it is we have about 23 partner sites across the county. So they are not our direct offices. They are in-kind spaces, family resource centers, school districts. I mean, we have memorandums of understanding with many school districts in the county of Orange. I mean, obviously the main ones are Anaheim Union, Anaheim Elementary, Santa Ana Unified, Costa Mesa, because that is where the highly uninsured, underinsured rate of our communities live. And what we do is we enroll individuals into Medi-Cal, CalFresh, CalWorks, now covered California, very soon to be Medicare. So now we are also going to be taking care of our older adults in the community. As you may all know, we have a heavy aging population in our county that needs to be taken care of, specifically our Medi-Cal, Medicare eligible, who historically have been grossly underserved.
When you say we enroll, Do you have community like ambassadors that are out there? Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely.
Who are the boots in the ground?
They are called Health Access Assisters.
Okay.
And as an organization, we put them through a training on how to help eligibilize our community members who are eligible for healthcare coverage. All of the eligibility really is based on family size and income, whether it's Medi-Cal, whether it's CalFresh, whether it's Covered California. And most everyone, you wake up at 65 and you're Medicare eligible as long as you are a citizen of the United States. And so we walk them through the application process. We also help them with renewals and ensure that there is the continuity of care.
What's the biggest challenge you say you faced during that process? Because I would imagine there's, I mean, I know we've had a lot of people on the show talk mm-hmm. about different events they're doing, community stuff, and the communication to, let's say, the Hispanic community, right,
correct.
Is always tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard of people posting, you know, at the, you know, local laundromats,
yes,
a flyer of information.
Uh-huh.
Is that some of the things
part
you have
it.
To do, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's laundromats. It's collaborating with even your local dentist offices,
mm-hmm.
dropping off flyers
mm-hmm.
with, you know, even a small business. It could mm-hmm. be El Pollo Campero, anywhere mm-hmm. where we are able that businesses will open their doors, specifically medical facilities. We do a drop off of flyers because what we don't want is any type of lapse in coverage
mm-hmm.
or also attempting to get more people enrolled.
And what keeps people from enrolling? I mean, this sounds like a dumb question, but is it simply they don't know how to do it, or they don't know what's available, or is there a hesitancy?
I would
afraid?
Say the Hispanic community also is.
I don't want to come forward.
Fear, right? I know growing up, and we've heard this throughout the years, like mm-hmm. the fear of filling out an application. Like, what is this for? What is
right?
What do you want from me? It's almost like if anything's too good to be true, it's like, what is it you right? Is that
Well, it's changed throughout time.
So it's gotten better?
Correct.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, good.
And when you're releasing your income, we do ask for personal information.
Oh,
what is
okay.
your citizenship status? What is your income? And those are two things that sometimes prevent our communities from enrolling, specifically those in mixed status households.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've had situations where people send me like a simple fill out these 5-10 questions. Even on certain like apps. And by the third question, I'm just like, I don't want to do this no more.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Like people just don't have patience today.
Right.
So I commend you
Thank
and your
you.
Team.
Well, the team.
And,
it's the frontline team.
And the boots
team.
In the ground people you have because
right.
it is hard
mm-hmm.
to get information from individuals because they start questioning why or they're just busy in a hurry, whatever it may be.
All of the above.
Maybe there's even, you know, language barriers, right?
Yes.
Things like that you
yes.
face. So I commend you. How many thousands would you say of people are like on a yearly basis that you're working with or registered, having to register them?
Right. In this past, just released our impact report for 2024 and we enrolled about 6,000
Oh,
people.
Wow. Okay.
6,000.
Throughout Orange County.
All of Orange County.
And the statistic I'm always amazed at, we've had people from Cal Optima or from Medi-Cal, other mm-hmm. people come in here. 3.25 million people in Orange County, roughly.
Correct.
One third of them, about a million, mm-hmm. are on need that kind of service
mm-hmm.
and qualify for it and
yes.
are on it.
Well,
that's phenomenal. And what we think of as an affluent community here.
I think it's also important to note. You mentioned something earlier that I think is very important for us to touch on, and that's that you said when you were young growing up, you didn't have health insurance.
Correct.
And that was something that for you now as an adult working in this organization, it's like, it's a passion for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a job.
Correct.
Right?
It's all heart.
Right? And I don't know if you have any, obviously, unfortunate situations growing up, not having health insurance, but, you know, I can tell you that there's no worse feeling than walking into a hospital or an ER place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing they're asking you for is, do you have insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're in the middle of like a broken arm, like you had, or, you know, God forbid you're having like, you know, chest pain, you can't breathe, or like something major, your kid mm-hmm. fell and, you know, cracked his head open.
And their first question is, how are you going to pay for this?
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. When you're in that situation, it's a very scary, situation to be in, right? It's a very, like, what do you mean?
Because you don't know what the cost is.
Yeah.
How much is this going to cost? I don't know that the hospitals have a rate like a hot, like a restaurant.
Like a rate sheet.
A rate sheet. Broken arms are $500 a day, but come on a Thursday and we're doing two for one. Yeah.
No, this is not like Taco Tuesday, right? It's not, you know, I always share with people the story of when my father passed away, my uncle flew down from Mexico and he was just here for my dad's funeral. Mm-hmm. I guess when he was getting on the airplane in Mexico, he hit his head at the airport. Mm-hmm. Typical old school, my tío just banded it up and jumped on the airplane. So he arrives. And that night when he arrives, or the second night, something like that, he has a major stroke because of the head injury. We had blood trauma in his head. He has a major stroke, right? Next morning, he's at a hospital. I won't mention their names, but they were not nice to him and my cousins. Mind you, my uncle in Mexico is a very, very successful businessman, owns a lot of businesses. And my cousins are calling me because they know I work in healthcare, right, at the time. And they're like, why are they treating us like this at this hospital? And I'm like, what's going on, Primo? And he's like, they're being very rude and very disrespectful and very. So I like rush down to the hospital and they had, you know, this individual in the room who was just like hard on them, right? Like just like, did your father come here just for these services? Is this why your father is here? Because he was needing these services in the U.S.
And they put him on a plane so he could get it here.
Yes. And I had a, you know, pull the lady aside and I said, listen, like my uncle's a very successful businessman. He can write you a check right now on all the services you're providing him. That's not the problem. My father just passed away. I showed him information about my father. I said, my dad's burial is literally tomorrow. I can't believe we're going through this now. My uncle's here at the hospital. And so I remember feeling that like this feeling from my family that I was visiting here from Mexico. Like, why are we being treated like this, right? And I even felt bad for them. And so it's unfortunate, but the reason why I'm telling this story is because this is why these services are so important for people here,
right?
Because you don't want to ever be put in that situation. It's not a very good feeling.
Well, when you're sick, you're helpless, right?
Yes.
And you want to be taken care of and feel taken care of more than anything.
Yes.
And, I mean, healthcare coverage is, and having food access is a basic human right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something.
Repeat that again.
Healthcare coverage and access to food is a basic human right.
That's such a powerful, I mean, just statement, I would say, right?
It's,
I mean, sometimes we don't think about that, right?
Mm-hmm. But. Well, it's a lot of reflecting. You know, it's a lot of reflecting. We all journey through so much. We all have a story, some of many struggles or minimal struggles. And it's important to know to help others. And through the work that we've been doing for about almost 20 years as an organization, and everyone is vested in our mission and what we do as an agency.
Now, just real quickly without getting political, but that today there's a different theory taking place in government. And you're facing a bunch of cutbacks. We all know this.
Right.
Through Medi-Cal programs in particular, if all these things go through and states strap for money because they had to spend so much for the fires and everything.
Right.
What's that going to look like coming forward here?
Oh, my goodness. How much more time do we have?
Yeah, not much.
Well, that's probably going to be another show.
I know.
In itself.
Well, it's going to impact everyone, the private sector as well as the public sector. Everyone, again, I'm talking about the healthcare system in this county, all hospitals except Medi-Cal patients. All health plans that are offered in this county also take care of the Medi-Cal eligible. And just wrap your mind around that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to it already is a tremendous impact. The federally qualified health centers are being impacted. I mean, it is a domino effect.
Yes.
And it's not looking good.
And there's I don't think people realize this, in addition to the humanitarian aspect of it.
Correct.
Caring about other people.
Right.
There is a hardcore economic impact. If your employees don't have coverage and they're sick and they can't get help, what does that do to your business? What does that do to their income? What does that do? It is a ripple effect in our economy when people are going bankrupt because they have to pay for this stuff out of pocket.
And that's that's probably like a whole show in itself
yes.
we'll get into. But I want to make sure we mention your events coming up, right? You have a mixture with us at the Chamber.
Yes.
We're going to be doing it July 17th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at your offices.
Yes,
in
the
Santa
Village.
At the Village.
Village in Santa Ana.
So if anybody sees this show before then, again, that's July 17th, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's a mixture with our Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and, of course, with Community Health Initiative of Orange County. You're welcome to come out, learn more about the organization. I know there's also going to be some other organizations
yes.
joining us that day.
I believe there's at least five.
Yes, great other nonprofits that will be there. And then you also have a big fundraiser coming up also,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is October 1st, Building a Legacy. We are hosting it at the Ebel in Santa Ana. Beautiful location, plenty of parking. I know parking is important for some of us.
It is.
It's a beautiful evening under tea lights, hosted bar, hors d'oeuvres.
That's a cool place. I only went there for the
it's
first
beautiful.
Time the other day. It's like an old
yeah.
club, a women's club kind of thing that has
yes.
a stage and everything else there.
Yes.
Built in the
20s. And it's cocktail reception,
welcome.
Right?
Correct. Cocktail reception, mm-hmm. 5 to 7.
Did she say cocktails?
Yes, I
well,
did.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's important that everybody who's watching and listening, you know, today is one of those topics that I wanted to make sure that we shared as much information as we could to our viewers and our listeners, right? These are important topics in our communities. And we just want to make sure that if anybody wants to learn more about this topic and this organization, what is a website they can go out and visit, or maybe Instagram or any type of social media?
It is for the website. It is chioc.org. When
okay.
you go on the website, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you can help. You can follow us. We have instrumental videos on how to apply for coverage.
That's great.
Yeah.
chioc.org. That's very, very important, guys, because save that, because even if it's not for you, it may
right.
be for somebody you know, a neighbor, somebody that you know that just wants to learn more about these services.
So it's not chalk, it's chioc.
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 Chioc. Yes.
Yes, chioc. C-H-I-O-C dot O-R-G.
And I guess the other point I was trying to get to is if federal, state, local funding is cut back for whatever reason.
Paul,
I'm
Paul,
just saying,
that's another show, Paul.
But then they have to go out and raise more money. Because so, you said half your money comes from
yes.
grants and donations, and the other half is from government sources.
Yeah, so 50% is from county, state, and federal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 50% is fundraising and grants that you receive.
Public and private foundations, it's a variety.
So them
of
coming
investors.
Out to some of your events, these fundraisers,
yeah.
it's huge.
Absolutely.
You know, for those people watching, listening, you know, by you donating, you're helping a family, you're helping a young child, you're helping somebody out there that doesn't have health insurance and needs these services desperately at some point in their lives. Well, thank you for being on the show.
It's been a privilege.
I know that it's a lot of information we provided people here today, but I think it's important that we continue to let everybody know. Again, chioc.org is the website. You can go and get more information and definitely support, again, their mixture with us. Is July 17th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. You know, come out, join us, leave a comment if you're seeing this video at some point on YouTube or live right now.
And where is that at? Where is that mixer?
That's going to be at the Village in Santa Ana.
Mm-hmm.
And
on
the Village,
17th Street.
Village is what? A place where there's a bunch
yes,
of
yes, it's on 17th Street.
It's a hub mm-hmm. of nonprofits.
Yeah, 17th and Big Street there. The next one is Grand, right?
Correct.
Like Grand and 17th.
So they can meet a bunch of nonprofits.
Yeah,
like
yes. yeah. There's about four or five in that building or something.
That are
right?
members of the chamber.
They're all members of our chamber. We're always working, as everybody knows, with nonprofits, trying to provide more information to the community as far as, you know, whether it's helping just provide more education, right? At
right.
the end of the day, the more education we provide, the better the services are utilized. Because again, I think that was something we touched on earlier, right?
Yes.
Sometimes people don't utilize the services, right?
Yeah. And we need to get into our doctors.
That's right. That's right. We got to get in there. Well, yeah. thank you so much. Again, with us today, we had Georgina Maldonado, Executive Director of CHIOC and Community Health Initiative of Orange County. I want to make sure I say that right. Thank you for being with us. Welcome to come back anytime.
I love it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Well, there you have it, folks. Again, Estrella Awards is coming up April 12th, so make sure you register. We're almost sold out. 700 people attend our big gala. We'll see you all there. Mr. Paul Roberts, take it away.
Well, there you have it. Another great reason to tune in each and every time to meet our community, hear what's happening in the community, and how you can make an impact. just like the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce does every day. As we stream live here in our studio, OC Talk Radio, our community radio station, streaming live from our place here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation.